I just want to honor all the moms. If you're a mother, please stand up. Praise God. Let's hear it for the mothers. Glory to God. We can honestly say that without mothers, we would not be here today. Amen. But you know, there's something special about moms. When I read through the scriptures, it was Mary, Jesus' mother, who kicked his ministry off. And he was trying to get out of it. He's like, it's not my time. Remember that? He said, woman, which sounded like disrespect. If Emma told Julie, woman, yeah, I would be, come here. We're gonna have a conversation. But you know that was not the culture. Okay, he's not being disrespectful. And what did he do? He did what she told him to do. She ignored him. When he said, woman, it's not my time, she just walked over there. Whatever he tells you to do, you do it. And that's the best counsel in the Bible. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. And it came from a mom. Glory to God. Well, let's get into the word. Are you ready? I want you to go in your Bibles to Micah. Micah chapter 6. Yeah, who did their devotion in Micah? Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for this opportunity to be taught by your Spirit. We want to hear what your Spirit says today. We consider ourselves good ground. We position ourselves right now to hear what the Spirit says today. We want to get this deep in the good soil, excellent soil of our hearts right now, that incorruptible seed. And so we thank you, Lord, that we will receive life-changing revelation, transforming revelation today in Jesus' name. So we thank you in advance for what you'll accomplish right now. Amen. Micah chapter 6, we're going to read in verse 8, and I'm kind of dropping in the middle of it. It says, the Lord has told you what is good, and that is what he requires of you. Say requires. This is what he requires of us, right? To do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before your God. So what we're going to talk about today is walking with God. Walking with God. Now, we see here in Micah that this is a requirement. This is what God requires. I want you to go over to Genesis chapter 3. First of all, walking with God, according to Micah, requires humility. Walk humbly with your God. Humbly as you acknowledge your source. Without him, we can do nothing, right? Without him, we are nothing, right? Praise God, we're not without him. Amen? Genesis chapter 3. This is right after Adam and Eve ate the fruit that they weren't supposed to eat, and right before God calls them out. In verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. So, without going into a whole big teaching right there, I just want you to know that walking with God involves his presence. They're hiding from the presence of God. God is in manifestation. They are hiding from him. We know that God is omnipresent, right? He's everywhere. So you can't find a corner to hide in where he's not. People that try to run from God, wherever you go, he's there. You ran to God. And you passed him on the way there. It's the truth, right? So when we're talking about walking with God, well, it would be easy to say, well, if he's omnipresent, everybody's walking with God. No, God is all around us. But this reveals that walking with God involves walking in his presence. That's what we're talking about, his manifest presence. All right, go over to chapter 6. Oh, I hope you're ready for this. Genesis 6, look at verse 9. Richard Taylor, I started to say Burton. Richard Taylor is Man, they had the biggest laugh over that at the Key. Richard stopped by and saw us at where I work at the Key to Learning. He knows all those folks, and so does Elizabeth. Some of them were coworkers for many years. It was fun to watch all these people come to Richard. And so I called him Richard Burton, and they all looked at me like, what? And I said, well, he's married to Elizabeth Taylor. You know, and they laughed. They thought that was the funniest thing. Anyway, praise God. Genesis chapter 6, look at verse 9. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. Now, this is after the fall of man, is it not? Before the redemption of Jesus, is it not? Ooh, it's going to get good. Listen to this verse in the New Living Translation. Noah was a righteous man, the only, say only, only blameless person living on earth at the time. That is massive. And he walked in close fellowship with God. That bothered my theology because I'm thinking once man fell, we're all in sin. Period. End of story. But here he's called blameless, perfect, righteous. And I want to submit to you, the reason is because he believed God. Remember, it's in Romans 4, I think it's verse 3, where Paul is talking about Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He believed God. And when you read in the Old Testament, it says Abram believed in the Lord. But you read it in Paul's writings in the New Testament, Abraham believed God. How many of you know there's a difference? There's a lot of people believe in God, but very few actually believe Him. When we believe Him, that's counted as righteousness. And you know what? That qualifies you to walk in close fellowship with Him. Man, I got help. So walking with God involves being perfect. Now you need to hear me out because a lot of people would want to leave right there. It means being perfect. Well, what did he say in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14? For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Listen to this from the Passion Translation. I love the way this is worded. I put it on Facebook. It's like, bladow. There it is. This is awesome. And by his one perfect sacrifice, he made, past tense, us perfectly holy and complete for all time, exclamation. Why aren't you doing a happy dance? I mean, oh my gosh. You know what I put on Facebook? I said, the question was, how does God perfect us? And boy, you'll get some weird answers. Things that are not God. I mean, a bunch of garbage is what people say, well, God's trying to perfect me. The answer is Jesus. That's it. The way, the truth, and the life. There's no other answer to being made perfect. Are you in Him? You're perfect. You can walk in close fellowship with Him. It is legal, and it's right, and He requires it. Praise God, I got help. You're pulling good. Now go back to Genesis 5. This is going to get fun right here. Genesis 5, look at verse 24. And Enoch walked with God. That's what we're talking about, right? And he was not, for God took him. You hear a lot of people throughout religion that talk about God taking someone. Oh, I remember one time I had to do an infant's funeral. And the family was fairly new to the church, so I didn't really know the family, but I had compassion. I mean, 6-month-old baby and died of SIDS. It was sad. It was really sad. And they had me there to do the funeral, but they had some guy, I didn't know who he was, that got up and he got on his knees. It was very theatrical and said, God needed another angel in heaven. And I'm like, oh. And I thought, well, now's not the time to fix this doctrine. But you hear that stuff. It's common. When I first got to the school, the Key to Learning, I asked the seniors, I said, what do you guys want to know? I'm going to teach you the Bible, but what do you want to know? I don't want to assume what you want to hear. What do you want to hear? And one of them asked me, said, well, I want to know why God took my 14-year-old cousin with cancer. And I gently just said, well, first of all, your question is predicated on bad information. God's not in that business. Let's just go over it and make it real simple. John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He came that we would have life. That blew him away. But that kind of stuff is prevalent throughout the body. When you see or hear people talking about, well, God took him, I don't know why they find some sort of comfort in that, that God tapped that person. We read in Hebrews, it's appointed unto man once to die. Well, they think that that means that you have a scheduled termination date, right? That's what people think. But that's not what he's saying. The spirit of it isn't that you're supposed to die at 2:33 on Tuesday. It's not that. What if you're on a plane and it's the pilot's time to die? Oh, well, you're out of luck, right? It's not the time. It's one time. It's appointed unto man to die one time. To die one time. We're going to die, right? Bow your heads. It's one time. Now, let's go over to Hebrews 11. Let's break this down a little bit. There's two people in the Bible that did not die. Enoch is one of them. He walked with God. This is after the fall of Adam and Eve. And he's walking with God. And all of a sudden, God takes him. So that's what I said. Don't use the phrase God took him unless you're talking about some kind of rapture. Are you with me? The other one is Elijah. Elijah. So there's some discussion about who are the two witnesses that come back. Well, there's only two that didn't die. Even Moses died. We know that from Joshua chapter 1 when God told Joshua, Moses is dead. They didn't know that until God told them. Then you read in the book of Jude, there was a discussion about Michael the archangel and the devil contending over the body of Moses. There's nowhere else that that's mentioned anywhere. Anyway, that's a whole nother message. Hebrews 11, let's look at verse 5. By faith, say faith. Say it again. By faith, Enoch was taken away, so that he did not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Here's God taking people, right? But how did this happen? By faith. Was it God's faith? No. Enoch's faith. He's walking so closely with the Lord. The Lord, I believe, is telling him there's going to be a rapture. And Enoch said, oh, I'll take mine now by faith. That's what it says. This was a faith thing. He was not found because God had taken him. And before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He pleased God. Watch this. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God wants us to walk with him, and he's going to reward us for seeking him. And it's a faith endeavor. So walking with God involves faith. Walking with God involves faith. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse 7. You guys can probably quote it. For we walk by what? Faith, not by sight. So when we talk about walking with God, it's not a physical walking that we're talking about. It's not what's happening with our natural senses. It's a faith walk. And when you got faith, you're pleasing to God. Thank you, Lord. Now, the word walk is very interesting in the Greek. And it means to tread around, to live, deport oneself. I like that. That jumped out at me this morning as I was going over my notes. Deport oneself. if you find yourself in a situation that's adverse or you shouldn't be there, maybe you put yourself in a situation that's not good, deport yourself. Where do you deport yourself to? Back to walking with God. Remember that. Deport yourself. I liked it. That blessed me. And then Rick Renner had this to say, to habitually walk around in one general vicinity. So we don't occasionally visit walking with God. This is where we live. And the idea is that you can do this with your eyes closed. How many of you, if the lights are off in your house, you kind of have tracked it enough that you know, okay, watch out, the couch is going to be right about there. Yep, yep, there it is. All right, okay, here's the, oh, there's the island. Okay, don't hit that. You kind of know because you've treaded around that vicinity. That's how it's to be with walking with God. We don't leave that. If you do leave that, deport yourself back. Isn't that awesome? Now here it's going to get real good. Are you ready? We're talking about walking with God. I want you to go over to Amos. Amos. Yeah, I always think of Jerry Reed. Amos Moses. He was one of my guitar heroes. Amos. Because you know he was a Cajun. He lived by himself in the swamp. He hunted alligators for a living. Just knock him in the head with a stump. Deport yourself. Thank you, Steve. Thank you. Thank you, Steve. That was perfect. Deport yourself. That's why I edit every CD, because I can take all that nonsense out. That's no longer the Lord. There's Wade getting in the way. Amos chapter 3. Now here you go. You ready? Verse 3. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? It would be like Kathy is at the Orlando airport and she's got a ticket to go to Los Angeles. And so Linda's going through there and she sees Kathy and she's like, hey, where are you going? I'm going to Los Angeles. Where are you going? Well, I'm going to Denver. Well, let's go together. Can you do that? Is that possible? This is a rhetorical question with an obvious answer. Right? If we're going to walk with God, we must agree with Him. Don't argue with Him. He's right. If He says you're healed, you're healed. He says you're prosperous, you're prosperous. If He says you have perfect peace, you have perfect peace. Agree with Him. You want to walk together, right? So we can't walk together unless we agree. I need to agree with Him. We're going to take communion in a few minutes. And we're going to agree with God that we are perfect, that we are righteous, and we are healed. We're going to agree with Him. Because He's right. You can argue all you want. He's not going to change. He wrote that in the scriptures. I'm not changing. Are you with me? In order to walk with God, this is the biggest thing right here. This was the revelation for me. In order to really walk with God, I must agree with Him. I must agree with Him. Not some theology, not some doctrine, not what my grandparents taught me, but I have to agree with Him. So I now need to know what He says. It's amazing how many people never read the will. That's sad. Man, Larry, if you had a rich uncle that owned 40 acres in downtown Dallas, and you found out that he died and that you're part of the will, would you read that will? Would you say, I'll get around to it. I'd say, whatever. No. I'd see how fast I could get to it. Amen. Right? Wouldn't you? Yeah. He made out a will. He died. He put it into effect. You're the heirs. You're the heirs. He's the mediator. He's working on our behalf to make sure we don't get cut out of the will. We need to read the will, find out what we're entitled to, and agree with it. Simple. I mean, that's so simple. But I guarantee you that's not happening in a lot of churches. A lot of churches, the spotlight is on you. You know what? We're going to take communion. When there's a sacrifice, which we just read, he was the perfect sacrifice. When there were sacrifices in the old covenant that were being offered, they didn't examine the person bringing the sacrifice. They examined the sacrifice. God's not examining us. He's examining the sacrifice. Now go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Man, I'm enjoying this. Yeah, but I don't feel healed. Stop agreeing with your symptoms. Agree with God. Get back in faith. Deport yourself. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verse 16. We are the temple of the living God. Man, that right there, you could just stay right there. We're the temple. He has chosen to live in us. In the old covenant, he was restricted to the holy place in a building. Now, he has moved out of that place and moved into our hearts. That is the temple. As God said, I will live in them and, look at this, walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Here's another revelation for you. God desires, not only does he require us to walk with him, but he desires it. He doesn't just require it, he desires it. Isn't that good? Now go over to Romans chapter 6. Romans 6, look at verse 4. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Newness of life. Walking with God is walking in newness of life. What is the newness of life? I'm right with him. I am justified. I am as righteous as Jesus is righteous. That's how we have boldness on the day of judgment. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 talks about, because as he is, so are we in this world now, right? Yeah. Not when we get to heaven, now. See, we're inheritance now. Again, I use the example of Larry's rich uncle that left him 40 acres in downtown Dallas. Sorry. This Larry. We got Larry's right here. Look at that. We have Larry bumpers right here. That's awesome. Larry's looking at me. What? But you wouldn't say, man, my uncle left me all that land in his will. That's awesome. I can't wait till I die to get it. Would you say that? No. We'd be like, Larry, let me feel your head. You feeling all right, brother? You don't have to die. He had to die. Read Hebrews 9. It talks about that the will is in effect after the death of the testator. It's Jesus' will. Before you go to Matthew chapter 1, look at what it says. It says the New Testament of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The way we would say it is the last will and testament of our Lord. It's a legal document. Glory to Jesus. I could just about get happy. And we're joint heirs with him. Amen. You go over to Romans 8. We're coming in for a landing here. We'll shift gears to communion here. Romans 8, look at verse 1. There is therefore now, say now, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now watch this. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Walking with God is walking in the Spirit. That is vague to some people. But really, just think of it. I'm just not going to walk in the flesh. Remember, we've identified the flesh as self-effort. It's not just carnal desires. It is those things. But how many times do we try to merit something? If we do a self-inventory and we feel guilty, then we got our eyes on us. I didn't do enough. I'm not good enough for this deal. Welcome to the club, right? Give up on that. All of us have come short of the glory of God. That word glory means opinion. We've all come short of his opinion. Are you with me? So to walk in the Spirit is just not to do it yourself. Amen? Galatians says if we'll walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We look at that word lust as almost sexual desires and all that. It's not that. You can lust a cheeseburger. I've done it. This week, somebody offered me cupcakes yesterday at the school. I lusted for those cupcakes. I didn't walk in the flesh, though. I walked in the Spirit. I said no. I could have had all of them. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. I'm trying to lose weight. That will not be helpful to that endeavor. If I eat those, I'm not going to lose weight. Is that too deep? Make it practical. So walking in the Spirit, when you say that, especially to the teenagers, the key to learning, you talk about walking in the Spirit, I'm like, does that mean I'm sort of transparent and I'm a couple inches off the ground? Ooh, look at Pastor Wade. He's walking in the Spirit. No. No. You're being led according to the Spirit. If you go on to read in Romans 8, you can read it verse 6, 7, and 8. It's talking about have your mind set on the things of the flesh. You're going to walk according to it, right? But you set your mind on the things of the Spirit and you walk accordingly. Okay, it's according to what your spirit wants. Now, we're going to go ahead and shift gears. And if we can get our ushers to get ready, we're going to go ahead and receive communion. And we're going to do it the way that we've been doing it. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Notice it didn't say that we didn't discern the blood. We've got to discern his body. And it goes on to say that because of this, people get sick. Some of them die because they didn't discern properly the body. His body was broken for you to be healed. So we have to discern that whatever sickness, whatever sin, whatever condemnation, whatever negative thing that the devil has was put on him. And his body suffered for it. The blood was for the covenant. The body was for our healing. Amen? One and the same sacrifice. And I looked up that word guilty, and you've heard me share this a few times, but it literally means liable to a charge. And when I saw that, I thought, oh, that's it. Because I used to be taught, okay, let's leave a little space of time. You go ahead and examine your heart, and if there's any sin there, just take a few moments, repent, get that out, because you don't want to take these elements. You could die. I'm like, let the elements go, you know, right? But it's saying guilty. We would be guilty. Well, what does guilty mean? Liable to a charge. Freedom, which we're called to, according to Galatians 5, verse 13, we've been called to freedom. It means exempt from obligation and liability. That's when it went off in me. I thought, that's it. We're to judge ourselves righteous. It's not about getting a sin out. I just need to say, God, you took care of it. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. So we're going to do a confession together, and then we'll do the elements together, okay? I want you to say this with me. I choose to agree with God. Therefore, I am healed. And I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Glory to God. All right, praise God. We'll go ahead and we'll put the elements.